I love it. I love it. I want some more of it. Getting out as early this Sunday as you did last week. He's going to try to spoil you. He's going to try to spoil you, but ain't happening. No. Thankful for that word. It was an awesome word. Truly enjoyed it. I love his spirit. I love to hear what the Lord is saying to you and what he's doing in you and what he's working in you. That's the power of the gospel. You know, when we begin to share that and say, yeah, that's what God is saying. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. And that's powerful, and I love that. And so I honor you and thank you for, I told many of you another Sunday that two probably of the most impactful people in my life growing up are here in my church today, and that is my Sunday school teachers over there. So never underestimate the power of bringing your kids to church. They need community. They need to be here. We need community. And I remember staying in her house and having parties, and I remember Sam and his love for us and his giftings. And so I'm so thankful for my roots that God brings back to you good measure, pressed. When you cast your bed upon the water, it does come back to you after many days. And I'm so thankful for that because I know the power of impartation. I know the power of planting seed. And I know the power of planting seed in kids. Amen. I stopped by a business yesterday, Beth and I, and we had lunch, and it was some kids that my kids had grown up with. And they went through a lot of things in their life and lost their mom early and all that kind of stuff. But, man, they are doing so well. And I'm thinking, you know, God, what seemed like it could have been a bad situation, you have blessed them. You had them in the palm of your hand all along. And I'm so thankful for his faithfulness. And so when I prophesy that and say the Lord will be faithful to you, to your generations, I don't care what it looks like right now. As Becca was saying, sometimes it looks like the leaves have fallen but the tree, but it's just in preparation for what's about to come in the spring and the new fruit, and they're storing up all of the goodness of God. And so that's powerful for me too. So I love community. I love church. I love corporate worship. I love the release of the fragrance and the giftings in the house. There are so many prophetic giftings in this house. There's gift of worship. There's gift of healing, and all those things are in the house. Don't hold on to those giftings. You are a part of this house. When God begins to stir your heart, it may just be the very thing that somebody was saying today, man, I needed that. That was for me. And sometimes the prophetic word, you know, Miss Arlene said about blow the trumpet. The trumpet is symbolic of the prophetic word or the gospel or preaching the gospel. It's the blowing out. It's the breath of God. It's all of those things. And man, when you begin to blow the trumpet, you know, it may come in a form of prophetic. It may come through worship. It may just be that song that hits you and it's like, God, you got this. I can tell you, I can remember places where I was in worship when God challenged me to sing that song prophetically over my family and some of those things. And I remember where I was when I did it. And now I look back and say, God, I didn't see it coming. I didn't know how you were going to do it, but you brought it to pass. And there was moments of turnaround that we mark as memorials and say that was the moment when God started to shift the sails. God started to change. And sometimes when we see change, we think of chaos. Sometimes it looks like chaos before it looks like order. Amen? It looks like things is flying apart before it looks like things are coming together. And so I'm thankful for change, and I'm thankful for the root system. And that has been what the Lord has put on my heart for this season and for us. Two words I felt like for sure the Lord spoke to me this year: bigger, better, stronger, and roots. And that is the word over this house and word of deliverance for this year. So if I have to preach it every Sunday till we get to 2023 or however long it takes, that's what I'm going to do, because that's what I feel like the Lord has spoken. And I feel like the Lord divinely spoke to me over make a room for the prophet in this season. And when our upcoming conference, I want you to make room in your heart. And I want you to make room in your schedule for the prophet. Because when the prophet of God came to the woman's house, she wanted nothing from him. She needed nothing from him, but she made a room. So anytime the presence of the Lord was passing by, it would stop at her house. I don't know about you, but I don't want the presence of the Lord to go on by my house. I want him to stop in and make yourself at home in the bed that I have prepared for you, a place that I've prepared for you, for your presence to dwell in my house. Amen. And sometimes in our schedules and sometimes in our mind and in our life, we have got to make room. Come on, somebody, let me say that again. We got to make room. We got to purge some things out. We got to purge some things, some stinking thinking. We got to purge some things, but we got to make room in our schedule. We got to make room in our heart and in our mind for change and for purpose and for God to show you what he wants to show you. Because I believe when the presence of the Lord resides in the house, birthing is going to take place. Amen. Come on, somebody, grab a hold of that and say, I received that this morning. Birthing is going to take place. And here's the rest of that story. I wasn't going to preach this today, but I got to go with it. In the rest of that story, he gives her a son that she did not ask for. But God brought it to her. He brought favor and he brought blessing to her when she didn't even ask for it, didn't see it coming. But there came a day when that son died. And the dad says, go take him to his mama, because his mama will know what to do. And they take him to his mama, and his mama says, saddle up my horse. Saddle up my donkey, my chariot, whatever it is, my camel, I don't know. Saddle me up, because I'm going to see the man of God. And there's times in your life that you got to get up, stand up, saddle up, and go find out what the prophetic word, God, you said you were going to bring life. You gave me this son. And she went to the prophet, and she said, God has hid from me what this woman needs, but go find out. And he says, is it well with you? She said, it's well. Is it well with your husband? It is well. But he finds out that her son had died. She said, man of God, I didn't ask you for this, but you gave me a son. And he said to his servant Gehazi, he said, I want you to take my staff and go lay it on that boy. And Gehazi went ahead because he was younger. How many know sometimes you got to send the younger ahead? Not that they have the word, but they can go in wisdom. And unless the prophetic voice is speaking to them to say, go here, do that. How many know there are prophetic voices that must train a next generation? You don't have the answer all the time, but just go. And Gehazi went and he took the staff and he laid it on the face of the boy and nothing happened. And when Elisha gets there, he gets there, and the scripture says he goes up and he goes face to face with him. And he lays on him, and he breathes on him, and he said, then the child began to sneeze. I wish somebody in here would sneeze this morning. I wish somebody would come alive this morning, because when you go face to face with the presence of the Lord, you can't help not get up and get out of that place. And God, because why did God bring favor? Because she made a room for the prophet. She made place in her house for the presence of God to operate. See, the presence of God doesn't just reside here. It must reside in your house and in your car and in Walmart. I believe TJ Maxx is anointed. Come on, somebody. Because the favor of God goes with me wherever I go. My dad probably has witnessed to more people on a Walmart bench than he did ever in church. And we probably led one just as many souls. I mean, you got to make room for that. You got to stop long enough to pray over somebody. You got to stop long enough to witness to somebody. You got to stop long enough to speak life into somebody. And you got to stop long enough to let them speak into your life. Amen. And for God to speak to you. One time I was going to open the door for myself, and my husband said, honey, if you just slow down, I'll open the door for you. But how many know sometimes I'm so many steps ahead of him, he can't get there. And I feel like God's saying the same thing. Honey, if you'll just slow down, I'll talk to you. Yeah. Come on, our minds go so many miles an hour, and it's so consumed with so much stuff that he doesn't have time to talk to us. I'm sometimes glad I got to drive 35, 45 miles to get to a shopping center, because I can have 45 minutes of quiet time in my car. Because guess what? When I turn off the radio and I listen, God will talk to me. God will talk to me in a crowd that's worshiping. God will talk to me wherever I am if I'll make room for the prophetic voice in my life. That was free. That isn't where I wanted to go this morning. But I feel like that to this house this morning. I want you to be very aware of that in this next season. Make room for the prophet and for the presence of the Lord in your house, because you'll be surprised what will come out of that when we work and we serve and we do what God has called us to do, and he can bring it back to us in so many ways. Amen.
Always saying to me, and when we were in, I guess it was in Tennessee, where did we go this year, the last trip, Tennessee, the Lord, they were singing the song, "We Cry Out to Dry Bones, Come Alive," and the Lord spoke that scripture to me where they were in the valley of dry bones, to start speaking to my generations and to my family and to those needs in my life to come alive, that those things may lie dormant. As that son lay dormant on that bed, sometimes it seems all hope is lost, but as long as God's in control, there is hope is not lost. And so that's what I've been doing. I when I pray or when I sing or when I, that's, I've just been speaking, Lord, you send the Holy Ghost. I may not be able to do it myself, but you send the Holy Ghost, because we prophesy dry bones come alive. Not will you, can you, or should you, but we say come alive. And sometimes we're afraid to do that. We're afraid to speak directly, because then if it doesn't happen or we don't see it happen, then we think that we've missed the mark. But even if we don't, even if you don't see it happen, God is moving and he is ministering and he is dealing. And like that root system, you know, in all these cases that I've been praying for, there's a root system there. And they just have, I just need the Lord to stir up the gift of God. And yeah. So anyway, just begin to cry out. And when you're praying, just speak to it. Say, Lord, we declare these dry bones are coming alive. We declare, when you talk to people, declare health, declare strength, declare things in the heavens. Because he said, what we proclaim in the heavens will be done in the earth. So,
amen. That ain't all. That ain't all. That's just a taste. That girl's got the word in her. She got the anointing. That's what Grandma Ethel would say. She got the anointing. Got the far. Yeah, she got the far. Whoo, but you had to say far. Whoo. Amen. We've been talking about roots. Roots are your, is what makes you stable. Root is where you get your nourishment. Roots is where the water comes into the tree. The roots and where you are grounded. How many of the scripture says we need to be rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in him, that Jesus said he was a seed, and he said, except a seed is planted in the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it brings forth much fruit. How many of Jesus was talking about himself being planted in the earth? They tried to kill him, but they didn't know he was a seed. Amen? Hallelujah. And when you plant the seed, get ready. Get ready, because when God is the fertilizer and when God brings the increase, ain't no grave. Come on, ain't no grave. Gonna hold you down. Gonna hold this body down. Gonna hold you back or hold you in the place where you are. How many know sometimes you gotta shake it off? You gotta shake it off. Hallelujah. You know, this is off again. The Lord, I saw something this week, and I shared it in one of our leadership things that we're doing. We're doing a ladies' leadership thing that we're doing. And one of the things is the scripture out of Mark chapter 5, I believe it is. And it is the scripture where Jesus is on his way to bring healing to Jairus' daughter, right? But on the way to the house of Jairus, can Jamie, can you guys bring up Mark chapter 5, I believe it is, and it's towards the end of that scripture. You don't have to. I can probably get it. Anyway, he's on the way to the house of Jairus. The crowd is consuming him, and he can't get through, and the disciples are walking like bodyguards and linebackers trying to help Jesus get through the crowd to get to the house of Jairus, right? And so they're on the way to the house of Jairus, and there's a woman who has an issue. And she's had it for 12 years. And she has spent everything that she's had trying to get well, and she's worse off than she was. And the scripture tells us, you know this story, the scripture tells us that today she got up and she heard the noise of the crowd, and she decided in herself, if I could just connect with Jesus, if I could just touch him, if I could just touch his hem, because by law I can't touch him, but I could touch the hem of his garment, and maybe it might be okay. And if I could just connect with Jesus today, I think today is the day for me. I mean, sometimes you got to make up your mind to not stay where you are and to get out of that place where you've been in, where you feel like you're hemorrhaging. The scripture says she was hemorrhaging. She had bled for 12 years. I mean, that's the life is literally draining out of her. And I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you felt like the life was totally draining out of you, but you were too unclean to touch Jesus and you didn't know where else to turn to get the help that you needed, but you got desperate enough that said, I'm going to get up, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to move up, and I'm going to touch Jesus today, because I would rather deal with the wrath of the law than to go home like I came. There's sometimes that you got to say, I would rather deal with legalism and law, and if they catch me, I'm guilty for making him unclean, but I'm so desperate that I cannot go home the way I came. Yeah. You know, that's a mindset. You got to get up and say, I will touch him today. I will connect. I will go to church. I will pray. I will worship. I will read. I will connect with somebody. And so she sneaks in from behind and she touches Jesus. And the scripture says Jesus literally stops the progression and the procession. And he says to those who are right with him, his homeboys, who touched me? And they're like, did you seriously just ask me that? There's like thousands of people in this crowd and everyone's trying to touch you, and I'm doing everything I can to keep them from touching you. And you say, who touched me? He's like, no, somebody connected with me today. Somebody touched me, and when they did, something left me and entered them, and I want to know who got it today. I want to know who connected. I want to know who touched me. I want to know who was so desperate today that they got up and said, I will touch him or I will die, because I cannot remain the same. And he turns around and she's crouching there because she knows she's broken the law, because under the law, if you were unclean and you touched him, you made him unclean. Can I tell you this morning, there is nothing in you that could ever make him unclean. You reach out and touch him because you have a high priest who can be touched. And she touches him and she's made whole. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your opportunity. Connect. Sometimes the reason we get stagnant and we get stale and we get indifferent to churches, things, is because we fail to connect. We fail to touch. We fail to connect. We fail to engage. Pursue. And she pursues and she touches him and she's made whole. You know the scripture. But in the meantime, she's bled for 12 years. There's a little girl who's 12 years old, which is about to start her cycle. And now the master has been delayed. Has the master ever been delayed in your life? Ever been delayed? And they come back to Jesus and they say, Jairus, don't trouble the master. It's too late. Your little girl is dead. And Jesus hears the heart of a papa who cried out for his baby. And he said, take me to where she is. Take me to where she is. How many know he doesn't believe your report? He didn't believe the report of Jairus. And every time you try to talk God out of your miracle and find all the reasons why he can't do it, you are not going to talk God out of your promise. He said, she's not dead. Take me to where she is. And I submit today there is a generation that is waiting on the church that seems like it's hemorrhaging and dying to stand up, quit being controlled by the press of the crowd, and push in and say, I will connect with him today, because the virtue and the flow out of him is way more powerful than the flow that I'm experiencing. And why it seems like we are having our issues, we're delaying a generation. A 12-year-old girl who needs somebody to touch her. And so he goes to the house of Jairus. And you got to read it out of another translation. I don't think I have it with me. But he goes in and says, why all the busybodies are there talking gossip and defeat and disappointment and grief and bringing their casseroles. I love that. We didn't come to speak life over you. We brought you a casserole. We baked you a cake. Sending prayers and hugs. Praying hands, send you praying hands. We love you, hope you do better, sending you comfort. No, while they're bringing casseroles, Jesus is bringing prayer partners. He comes in with his disciples and he said, don't let anybody in the room except my disciples and the mama and the daddy. How many know we need some mamas and daddies to stand up in this generation, in this day, and say, that's my baby girl, and I will not leave her in this state. I will not leave her dying. I will not leave her forsaken. I will not leave her here, because that's my girl. How many know sometimes you got to stand up and say, that's my baby. Take your casserole and go home. And they go into the room, and Jesus says to the crowd, he says, she's not dead. She's just asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. I mean, there's a whole lot of preaching right now that says that the American church is dead. But I want to declare to you this morning prophetically, it's not dead, it's just been asleep. But it needs to connect with a Jesus that can say to him, Taluma, Talitha Kumai, she's not dead. She just needs to be awakened to who she is. I mean, you know, sometimes he just wants to awaken us to our identity and our purpose and our calling, and awaken us to a day that we stand with a generation and says, little girl, get up. The NIV in the Message Bible says it in that way. Little girl, there they have it. He took her by the hand. How many are glad when Jesus can just take you by the hand, hallelujah, and pull you out of a place of complacency, pull you out of a place of indifference, pull you out of a place where you've fallen asleep to who you are and your identity and your destiny. And he gets her by the hand and he says, Talitha Kuma, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Little girl, get up. Come on, somebody say it with me. Little girl, get up. Now, I don't know about you, but that spoke to me, hit me in the chest when God said to me, little girl, get up. I didn't call you to mourn. I didn't call you to cry. I didn't call you to be defeated. I didn't call you to lay there indifferent and asleep and not knowing your identity. I say to you, little girl, get up. Come on, I don't know about you, but sometimes there's the little girl in me that speaks louder than a woman of God. And I've got to speak to that little girl and say, little girl, get up. You've walked through way too much stuff to lay here asleep in this season. And how many know sometimes we got to speak to that person inside of us and say, get up. Get up. Get up and read. I said what I said. Get up and worship. Get up and go to church. Get up and take your kids. Get up and give. Get up and do the things God has called you to do. We're waiting on God to do something when God's saying, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to get up. Get up. Stand up. Be counted. What is God saying to you in this season? What is he speaking over your life? What is he declaring? Because there's sometimes you got to talk to yourself. Anybody in here ever talk to yourself? Because everybody else got something to tell you. You know what Jesus did? He shut the door. There is a knob and a lock on that door for a reason. He said, shut the door. He didn't come bringing casseroles. He wasn't looking for gossip. Didn't want to hear the defeat and all the reasons why. He brought prayer partners. Said, we're not here to mourn. We didn't bring casseroles. But take me to where she is. When God began to speak over her, there might be a little girl in your life that you're praying over. And I want you prophetically today in your heart, say, little girl, get up. Might be a little boy you're praying over. Little boy, get up. There might be a little girl or a little boy in you today that you're saying, get up, stand up, rise up. And he takes her by the hand and he gets her up. And she stands up. And you know what he says to him? Give her something to eat. Give her something to eat. What are you feeding that little girl? What are you feeding that little boy? What are you eating? Because he said, she doesn't need a grave. She needs strength. She needs resources. She needs energy. She needs something to drink. She needs something to eat. I mean, we need somebody to hit you by the hand sometimes and say, little girl, get up. And now that you're up, what are we going to eat? What are we going to feed on? We're going to feed on the work of the cross. We're going to feed on lamb. We're going to feed on bread. This is my body that was broken for you, that if you ever break that bread and you begin to take that bread, and the scripture said Jesus took the bread. He took it, and then he blessed it, and then he broke it, and then he distributed it to the multitude. Do you know that you are the bread that is distributed to the multitude? That if any man will eat this bread, I am the true bread. All that other may seem like facts. I mean, there's a lot of facts out there. And every side has their own facts. That's the problem with facts. But Jesus said, I'm truth. I don't want to know your opinion. I don't want to know the facts. I want to know what the truth is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Goes back to what Miss Arlene said, dry the tears and blow the trumpet. Little girl, get up. Little girl, get up. Prophesy to the situation. Get them by the hand. Speak to yourself. There's times I got to tell myself. I have a conversation with myself because some days that's the only person who understands me is myself. My husband says, amen, amen. But how many know you can speak condemnation over your life? You can speak doubt, fear, defeat, or you can speak praise and worship and life and the scriptures of God and declare it every day. Write it on the front of your refrigerator if you have to. Put it on your arm. Put it in a note in your lunchbox. Get ready to go back to school, and then moms will write little notes for their kids and draw hearts, and mommy loves you, and have a great day. And we go around the table, so say, what's this say? And I said, it says, give Mrs. Unger your brownie. And they'll look at me like, my mom did that? And then I say, no, it says, mommy loves you. They can't read yet. I can take advantage of that. It's just, you know. Awesome. And if they listen to that voice, guess what? I'm getting the brownie, right? It's a win-win. Write it somewhere. Put it on your mind. Jesus rebuked the scribes and Pharisees because they had broad phylacteries. You know what phylacteries are? It's the scriptures that they would write on a piece of a scroll or paper, and they would put an armband on and put that scripture in that armband. Or they would put it around their head, because the scripture says bind it around your head and on your arm and put it in your heart. And they would wear a box here over their heart. It would have that scripture in it. They would have one on their head. And he said, you make broad your phylacteries. In other words, the bigger your phylactery, everybody say phylactery, the more righteous you were. So they made broad their phylacteries and exhibited the gospel all over their body. You can wear the t-shirt all you want to. You can get the bumper sticker that says honk if you love Jesus. And when somebody honks and you get aggravated at them for honking to you, you got to remember you got a bumper sticker that says honk if you love Jesus. You can put it all over yourself, but if you don't put it in your heart and you don't put it on your agenda, it's just a phylactery. But man, when you get it in your heart, and you get it in your mind, the mind of Christ, and you get it in your spirit, it's yours. Yep. And you know how people see it? When you display it in your actions. So I say to you today, little girl, get up. Get up. Do what God has called you to do. Make preparation in your life for the presence of the Lord. Maybe you've been a little slack in it. Say, you know, I kind of backed off from some things and I just feel kind of dry or whatever. Little girl, get up and give her something to eat. How many know how you change an atmosphere in a room? It's when you walk out of that room with the little girl in hand and she was dead, but now she's alive. Heather and Blaine were telling me some stories this morning of people who were dead, but they're coming alive. What's it take? Somebody grab them by the hand and say, come on, little boy, get up. Little girl, get up. You can do this. You can do this. God's got purpose and calling for your life. Come on, get up. Stand to your feet this morning. We'll preach the other one next Sunday. Sam's got me on a time frame, so I got to quit. Love you, Sam. Love you, Sam.
Sam's awesome.
I don't know about you, but that might just been for me this morning, because that's what God is speaking to me. Because it's easy to go through COVID. It's easy to go through trauma. It's easy to go through things in your life and just get comfortable being there. And then God starts to stir again, and he starts to say, come on, little girl, get up. The stirring. Coming alive. How many of you want to come alive again? That stirring, that prophetic anointing being stirred up, that gift of healing being stirred up, that word of knowledge being stirred up, that all of those things, that desire, that passion. I want nothing to do with church without passion. Passion, relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing something, Beth. If you want prayer, if you want us to join in hands with you today, you want us to pray over you, our altars are always open, and we'd love to do that. Hallelujah.
While she was talking, I just hear the Lord saying, pursue, pursue, pursue. He wants you to pursue him because he's been pursuing you, and it's now time for you to pursue him. So as you go into this week, I want you to try to focus on pursuing God, whether that's reading your Bible, that's praying, that's, you know, putting aside offering money for the coming week. But I want you just to see the change in your week the more you pursue, the more you, like Lisa said, connect. Maybe connect with somebody and that also is in the church and pursue him together. Read a scripture, share a scripture, something. I just hear him saying, pursue, 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 pursue. So, just pursue him this week.